Well, we've been in a really awesome series, and we're in week three of that series called New Creation. And we kind of started out with a general overview, and then last week we talked really about God as our creator, God who fashioned us, who formed us. We talked about the universe a little bit, and it was really fun to just kind of dive into how amazing God is and therefore how amazing he created you and me. So today, we're really going to dig in a little bit to what it means to be a new creation in Christ. Not just simply an amazing masterpiece that God created, but what takes place when we're in Christ and how that changes who we are. And so we're going to pick up in Matthew chapter 22. And this is one of those scriptures that maybe on your list when you get to heaven to ask the Lord about, because it's a little strange. And there's a lot of the Bible you can read and you're like, huh? Like that doesn't, I don't know. It doesn't make a lot of sense. This is kind of one of those passages, but I really think that it's going to help us where we're headed today. And it starts in verse one, says this: Jesus spoke to them again in parables saying, the kingdom of heaven, again, this is a parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. Skipping down in verse 8. Then he said to his servants, the wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come, so go to the street corners. I love this. Go to the street corners and invite anyone you find to the banquet. So the servants went out to the streets and gathered all the people they could find, the bad as well as the good. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man. Turn to your neighbor and say, he noticed a man. There, who was not wearing wedding clothes. He asked, how did you get in here without wedding clothes? The man was speechless. My wife dressed me. Okay. Then the king told the attendants, tie him hand and foot, throw him outside into utter darkness. What in the world is going on here? Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the way you want to speak to us. Jesus, I ask that my words would fall to the ground and you would speak, Jesus. You would open up our eyes once again to see you, to see who you are in our lives and what you're doing in us as you craft and shape us into your image. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So as a pastor, I have one of the privileges, by the way, my title is Tailored in Righteousness. One of the privileges that I have as a pastor is that I get to marry people and I get to go to a lot of weddings. And every time I go to a wedding, particularly when I am officiating a wedding, I'm reminded of something. I don't have a very good dress up wardrobe. In fact, it's horrible. I'm the guy who goes to like H&M, which is like, you know, that store in the mall that's totally not the dress up, but they have like a few random suits, like last minute to grab something. And inevitably, you know, the last time I did a wedding, and then the next time I do a wedding, there's something that happens in between those because it doesn't happen very much. Sometimes it's like a year apart. And what takes place is that I've gotten a little older and I've gained a little bit of weight. No one understands what I'm talking about here. I understand, but that's where I'm at. So every time I go in, I'm like, I know I have some dress clothes that I haven't worn in a really long time. I mean, this is my, you know, normal outfit. And I try it on, and it's just like, oh, man, this is either it's like way out of style or it totally doesn't fit. And so I'm scrambling, you know. And so I'll never forget this one wedding. So the other part of that is the shoes. So, I mean, I don't ever update my dress shoes, because why would I? Why would I spend that kind of money? I literally wear them maybe once. I mean, if I can get away with wearing a pair of Jordans with a suit, I'd do it. I wouldn't marry somebody in that unless that was the vibe. But like on an Easter Sunday, I would do that. So I'm not going to go out and buy nice shoes. I'm just going to use the ones that I've had forever. Anybody with me? Does anybody understand what I'm talking about? Okay, so I have some dress shoes, and I've had them for a very long time. And I'll never forget, I was marrying a guy. This was maybe 2 years ago, and I got all dressed, and you know, I found an outfit that like was reasonable and fit reasonable, and I got these dress shoes. Now these dress shoes, I've had them for a very long time. I had to literally dust them off and everything. So I get up there, and we're ready to do like the rehearsal thing before, but it was day of, because it was one of those scrambled together. It was at a house. So we're kind of like doing just like the rehearsal of how it's going to go literally 30 minutes before the wedding. And as I'm walking up to the altar, I noticed that my soul comes off this much. And it's attached on the back. And so when I'm walking, it's going like clippity-clop like this, right? And so I'm like, what the heck? You know, and I look and it's literally like it's coming off. So I'm like, all right, I can salvage this. So I'm just shuffling, right? And so then I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to stay up at the altar. As long as I don't go anywhere, I'm good, you know? So we get done with a little bit of rehearsal thing and I move off the stage and boom, it just comes off. So now I have like these shiny, nice shoes, one with no sole and the other one's normal. And I mean, it's like pretty good sole. So I'm like totally off balance here. So I noticed that the other sole's like kind of like a little bit coming off. So I go in the back, I rip the other sole off. So now I've got really nice dress shoes, no sole. And by now, like, it's time for the wedding. So I'm rolling up there, and the guy was like, what are you? I was like, dude, don't even worry about it. He's like, I have glue in the back. I'm like, dude, there ain't no glue that's going to fix that. We're good. We're just going to go with it. And he got married, and at the end of it, you know what? It was totally fine. I think I started a new fashion. So here's what I found out. Tailoring is a thing. And Qua has a guy. So... And Derek got a suit. He's not here today, but he got a suit tailored, and it looks really nice. And so they both told me after these epic stories that we're gonna get a suit that's tailored that actually fits you. How many know when something actually fits you, it's incredible. So today we're gonna dive into the outfit that God gives you, tailored in righteousness. And the series is about discovering who you are in Christ, but we have to understand, and the tension we're going to be talking about is sometimes what God says about us and who he says we are in Christ and what we think about us, there's a difference. What we see and what we know is who we are and what God says we are. How many know sometimes there's a gap between those things? And it's this tension that you and I deal with all the time. And so my first idea today to really dive into this is there's a standard in the kingdom. There is a standard in the kingdom. Psalm chapter 130, verse 3. If you, Lord, should keep account and treat us according to our sins, who could stand? I love in this story, it says that they went out to the streets, to the street corners, and they gathered everybody that they could. I'll tell you what, that's heart, church. I mean, we've said from the beginning that these doors are open, that we are shouting from the rooftops, anyone is welcome here. Anybody with me? This is the call. This is the great call. And this is what we see in this story. Like, everybody's welcome. Go invite everybody to the kingdom. And it's in that moment that religious people start freaking out. When you say everybody is welcome, religious people start freaking out because they think that we've traded the standard for grace. And so they think we're just going around throwing grace out. Like, you know what? Grace covers it. It's all good. i.e., there's no standard. Come on, the doors are open. Come one, come all. There's only good news here. And religious people get really uptight about that. And I would too. Because that's what they think that version of the gospel is saying. Grace has replaced the standard. It's all good. There's only good news. So I guess the question is about righteousness. Well, righteousness is the standard. Righteousness is the standard. And so I had this question that I want you to throw up there, and that is, does righteousness mean right behavior or right standing? If righteousness is the standard in the kingdom, does it mean right behavior or does it mean right standing? We're going to come back to that. And so we look at this man in this really abstract parable that Jesus is saying, this is what the kingdom's like. And this man, he was invited. He was loved on. He was cared for. He was saying, listen, we have a place for you. We have a home for you. And in the last moment, they gave him some wedding clothes. I brought some wedding clothes. If you need me to do a wedding, here it is. So they brought some wedding clothes. And this was specifically tailor-made for this party. And the guy, he took one look at this amazing outfit, and he just said, you know what? I feel good about the clothes that I have on. I feel good because I paid for these. I worked hard for these. You know how many good deeds I did for these clothes? Nah, I'm good. I feel like I could meet the standard by myself. And so the difference here in this story is that this man simply decided, I don't want the gift. I'm good. I think my clothes are fine. Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6 says this, but we are all like an unclean thing, and all our righteous deeds are like filthy rags. Yikes. So I guess the message today is, we're not fine. I guess there needs to be some bad news before there's some good news. And don't get me wrong, the news is incredible. But it starts out with all of your good deeds are like filthy rags when put up against the standard in the kingdom. The standard in the kingdom, righteousness. And so you and I, we go, but I've done some good and I've done some bad and I feel like it's offset it a little bit. And you and I have talked to a lot of people in our lives who sort of come to that and go, really? You don't think I could get into the wedding wearing this? Because I'm feeling pretty good about it today. And the Bible says all of our good deeds are like filthy rags. And so the message today isn't all good news. And I know what you're thinking. Like, Shane, you said that God created me last week. And I would say to you, yes, but sin broke you. God created you and sin broke you. I know this is like kind of a bummer already. Gracious. 15 minutes in. I got good news. Ready for this? When you accept his sacrifice, you receive his righteousness. This is point number two. And listen, if you've been in church for any length of time, then you kind of know where I'm going. But man, go with me because I want to dig in even deeper than maybe you're used to. But you just need to know today that when you receive his sacrifice on the cross, then you receive his righteousness. Righteousness is a courtroom term. It's not a behavior, it's a right standing, because it's as if a judge announces you not guilty in the court of law. That's what righteousness means in this context, is right standing, that you are made correct. despite all the things against you. 2 Corinthians 5:21, this is probably the most profound scripture as it relates to the gospel and being a new creation. He made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin, that we might become the righteousness of God. The only one who met the standard became sin for us so that we could take on something that we didn't deserve. So, all through the Bible, righteousness is associated with clothing. Hence the parable. The man comes to the wedding, he's invited, he's loved on, he's cared for. Some were good, some were bad at the wedding. Some felt like they did some good stuff, and some were just like, man, I'm coming in here and I realize I'm wretched. They had all kinds. They went to the corners of the earth and they shouted the message, everyone is welcome. And it came down to this, right here. It came down to this. The clothes, the wedding clothes. And this is what it says in Isaiah chapter 61, verse 10. He dressed me in the clothes of salvation and clothed me in a robe of righteousness. I am like a bridegroom dressed for a wedding. And so he puts it on, the clothes robed in righteousness. And this is the gift that you get despite your good and bad deeds to reach the standard. He clothes you in his righteousness. Now, I want to talk to you about once saved, always saved for a minute, because this is a big deal. And it's where the religious get really hung up. And it's where we miss it because we associate righteousness with right behavior. And so we look at somebody and we go, if you're not behaving right, then you've fallen from grace and are no longer saved. And listen, I've said this before. I'm okay if you don't believe like I believe. But I'm going to tell you what I believe. I believe that somebody who has truly accepted Christ, received the Spirit of God in them, but blood-bought believer walking with him that falls away cannot fall out of Christ. Because I don't think you can become born again and then die again on the inside. When you're born again, you're born again. Now, that being said, let me talk to you about the people that maybe said the prayer but didn't receive the new life. Can I tell you that there's a difference between trying this on and buying it? And so some people, I actually have a friend from high school, and I'll never forget it. When we were 16 years old, we went to a rally. And it was one of those hellfire and brimstone rallies. I mean, I'll tell you what, from the stage, I mean, they were breathing it. They were like, man, if you don't get down here right now, you're going to hell. You're not promised tomorrow, right? And they were just going for it. And they had like visuals, like a fire and stuff on the stage. And I mean, it was like hellfire. I think that was the title of the conference, Hellfire and Brimstone. I mean, the whole thing was to scare people out of hell. And now listen, I appreciate anybody that's trying to get people saved and get into heaven. That's not my personal preference and how to do it, because I think the byproduct can be disingenuous. And so my friend, having been scared out of hell, came up to the front, gave the sinner's prayer. And he said, because I was standing next to him, and at this point I'm saved. I love Jesus. And I'm standing next to him and I'm praying for my friend. But my friend is anything but a Christian at this point. He comes down to the altar and he says the prayer. I heard him. Said the prayer. And it was almost like he was in He was in the H&M store. He was trying on his wedding outfit. You know what I'm saying? He's like, man, this is pretty sweet. And then you know what happened? As soon as he walked out, he's like, man, I liked it. But I don't know. You ever have buyer's remorse? Sometimes I get buyer's remorse before I actually buy it. And I'm like at the cash register. And I'm like, I don't know, you know? And then as soon as you lay it down, you feel good about it. And that's how you knew you weren't supposed to buy it. You're like, oh, I'm good. I really need it. So this is what happens sometimes is that we pressure somebody through hellfire and brimstone into trying on the outfit. But at the cash register, they're like, I don't know, do I want to pay for that? Nah, I'll just leave it there, and they leave. And then their life doesn't change a bit. Why? Because they weren't born again. The Bible says, confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, and you're saved. You're transformed. You're made new. The old is gone and the new has come. You are a brand new creation on the inside. As we said, you were buried with Christ in baptism and raised to newness of life, which means that you were raised from the grave. Something took place in you. And listen, when somebody gets saved, something happens to them. Now, that doesn't mean that they go on and live this amazing Christian life. Hello? Can I tell you what happens? When somebody, they come to the altar and they have a moment with Jesus. And they say the prayer because it was something that's taken place in their heart. They've hit rock bottom and they suddenly realize that there is a God in heaven and that he created me. He came to earth for my sins. I realize today that my goodness is like filthy rags and that I need a savior. And so, yes, I want to put on the garment of righteousness. I realize that that is who I was created to be. And so, yes, I put it on. And then some of us, and I know this was true about me in high school, where I went through a season where I'm just like, I don't know, this is kind of cramping my style. Like, I want to be cool, and I got some stuff I want to do, and this is like, this kind of feels frumpy, you know what I'm saying? Like, this is, my friends aren't really going to dig this thing. And so what happens, inevitably, is that some of us go wayward, but I'll tell you what, we can never shake this thing. Let me do this, because it's going to help the illustration. So I think what happens is that it just stays on us. And we're going wayward. We're trying to do everything. We're trying to do everything we did before. Can I tell you the best fruit of somebody who got saved? It's not that they're a super Christian. It's that they are horrible at sinning now. You know, before you got saved, you could sin with the best of them. You were such a good sinner. Oh, man, no guilt, no shame. You could do what you wanted, right? It's just like, man, I'm living my best life, yo. I'm going to hell, but I'm living my best life. I can cuss and I can do whatever I want. And then, and listen, you kind of felt free. And then you get saved. And then you go try to do that same stuff. And it's just like, man, I don't know. I feel a little choked. It's not the same, you know what I'm saying? Like, I try to do the other stuff, and it's just awkward. I can't even sin good anymore. I'm not a good Christian, and I'm not a good sinner. I'm, like, in the middle. Why? Man, because you got the Spirit of God on you. You got the Spirit of God, like, holding you back. He's like, uh-uh, you know, you ain't doing that anymore, right? He's like, he's got you. He's got you. And it looks awkward, and the Spirit of God's like, this is not what I want for you. This is not how this was meant to be worn. This is going to look weird at a wedding, but I'm on you. I got that when I was 12 years old. The Spirit of God, he made me alive on the inside. He wrecked me. He marked me. And man, I tried so hard for the next couple of years to be awesome like my friends and enjoy sinning, and it was miserable. because he had me. This is the sign that you got Jesus on the inside, because there's something that's nagging you. Listen, if you go try to live like the world and you got nothing nagging you, you got problems. You need Jesus. You need the Spirit inside of you. But for those of us who do, don't ever doubt your salvation. If you go try to do the wrong thing and you got that thing in you that's just like, man, this is tough. It's like a noose around my neck. That's the Spirit of God saying, man, I got better things for you. I've called you out of that. So it's time. Why don't you learn to wear this thing? Because, man, trying to live like the world when you got the Spirit of God in you is a bummer. That's not how this was meant to be. So he's calling us to go, all right, Lord. You know what this is called? Surrender. Okay, Lord, I got it. I surrender. I surrender. Because I realize that when I get his righteousness, I get his robe. And he has made me right with himself. So when we receive his garment, my last point is this. You receive the tailor. I love this. I'm going to invite the tailor to come up. So this is Eddie. But for the next few moments, he's going to be the Holy Spirit or the tailor. Now, what's cool about this is that this jacket is actually Ed's. I mean, the Holy Spirit's. So he knows exactly how to make this work. Because here's the problem. And here's the problem that I'm telling you as my tailor. This feels awkward. This does not fit me. And I feel goofy wearing this. And I feel like, don't you feel like the cuffs are too long? Don't you feel like this could fit a lot better on me? And I don't know if you've ever experienced this in your walk. He's just gonna follow me around. I don't know if you've ever experienced in your walk where as soon as you get saved, there's some things that you're trying to do that are just weird. One of the things for me was to say the name of Jesus, like out loud, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And it was like, it just felt like it was too big for me. Or hallelujah. Praise be the name of Jesus. Like, it just felt weird. It felt awkward on me. Is anybody with me? And so you put on righteousness, and then it's like, I don't know, man. I don't. And so then even Jesus says this. It's to your advantage that I go away. Why? Because I'm going to send the tailor. And I have a question for you. How long have you been doing this?
All my life.
Since the beginning of creation? How many people have you tailored?
Everyone. All the time.
Everyone who lets them. This is his job. Do you know what tailoring takes? Time. You know what tailoring takes? A relationship. I like the sleeves like that. Because I want to feel free, especially when I'm preaching and I kind of do this. I want to be able to. It's this beautiful relationship. Can I tell you? There's all kinds of stuff in this robe of righteousness. Stay right there, Holy Spirit. Can I tell you? What the religious people do? They walk around and they ridicule people because their clothes are too baggy. They scold people because their bags are baggy. Like, listen, that doesn't look good on you. What's wrong with you? Don't you think you should be better? Why are you still talking like that? Why are you seeing those movies? How come you're hanging out with those people? Man, it's too baggy on you. You don't even look good. Can I tell you the issue with the religious? See, they know how to cheat the system. They know how to roll their cuffs up, and then they put those pins. You know what you do when you don't go to the tailor? You know, have you ever done this with your jeans, where like you cuff them on the inside and you put like a little hidden pin because you don't really want to go to the tailor and get them done, but they're too long, so you kind of cheat the system and you kind of look okay. And so this is what religious people do: is they walk around and they look good on the outside, but they never had to go to the tailor. Why? Because they don't want transformation on the inside. They just want to look good on the outside and make fun of everybody else that are wearing stuff that's too baggy. Am I preaching to anybody today that has ever experienced the religious people making you feel bad because you're trying to put on righteousness? You just don't always know how. And I want to look like you, Jesus. I want to walk with you. I want to do this thing. But I don't know how. And I don't want to cheat the system because I know that my good deeds are like filthy garments. So if I try to modify this thing on my own without letting you do something on the inside, I know it'll end up empty. And so I'm going to come see the tailor. I'll tell you what, this is a joy. I wrote this: without the tailor, this will feel like religious activity that doesn't fit. And you will get tired and discouraged. And you will feel like you're not worthy. And you will start looking around at everybody else and going, wow, these people are really awesome. I mean, you can't come into a room like this and not feel like, wow, like that person over there, like I've seen them pray and I see them just kind of walk and it's like, man, it looks so good on them. And I'm fumbling around here trying to live this thing out. And that's when the chatterbox starts coming. And that's when he starts reminding you of like, see, you're not righteous. Are you kidding me? And then you go back and you fumble back into sin and you deal with some stuff. And then it's like, he's back on you again. And I'm just here to tell you that Jesus has sent you the helper. You know what another name for him is? The advocate. The advocate stands in that courtroom amongst all of the haters and says, no, this robe that I put on them, it's white as snow. Ain't nothing wrong with this robe. And it covers my son. It covers my daughter. And yeah, does it fit perfect? No. Is it going to be perfect until heaven? No. But the tailor, he's like, man, when this thing's done, you're gonna shine like Jesus. And so you know what the tailor does? He starts cutting things off that don't belong. He starts pinning things up. Like, listen, that doesn't need to be a part of your life. Why? Because it's just making it look awkward. Because I want you to be fitted to who I've created you to be. And so we partner with the Holy Spirit and we allow him to say, you know what? I know that other people can do that, but I'm asking you to cut it out. There's movies that I can't watch that my friends can watch. It just grieves my spirit. And I'm just like, I can't do that. There's things that I can do that my other friends are like, I don't know about that. Again, sin is sin. I'm not talking about compromising sin, but I'm talking about things that are that just feel like God shaving and cutting things off. Time with him. Walking with him. What does that look like for you? Well, it's partnering with the tailor as he's shaping you to be more like him. But can I tell you, this does not happen overnight. The other thing that I've noticed about a tailor is it requires vulnerability. Because you're standing there, right? He's like doing the waist thing. I'm like, I don't really want you to measure my gut. Thank you very much. This is awkward. He's like, sorry, I gotta figure out where you at. Really? Can't we just guess and go a little baggy? No, I want it to fit you now. I want it to be custom. And so we come before him and we say, God, search me and know me. It's so freeing. Your outfit was created for you. And I know religion, even Christianity, can sometimes feel like, I don't know, it just feels stodgy. It feels like I'm wearing Sunday best clothes that I would never wear any other time. You know what I would say to you? Go see the tailor. Talk to him. I don't know, I don't feel right. How can I wear this thing and it feels free? How can I wear this thing like you've created me to wear? And he starts fashioning you and shaping you on the inside to become like him. And so this is good news today because you get two things. You get a robe of righteousness that wherever you go, it's following you around. And that's really good news when you're trying to love Jesus. It's really bad news when you're trying to live your best life out in the world. Because I'll tell you, this thing, it ain't leaving you. This is who you are. You have a right standing with your relationship with God. And so that means every day you wake up and you say, Lord, I thank you that today I'm right with you. Forgive me of my sins and wash me clean today once again. Renew my mind and heart. Allow me to see you in a new light. Come on, wash away all that stuff that doesn't belong. And let me see today that you really have clothed me in right standing with yourself. This is good news. But not only that, when you go home today, when you get in your car today, when you go in your prayer closet today, you have an Eddie. Everybody needs an Eddie. He's such a good friend. He's always there to talk. But listen, it's way better than Eddie. It's the Holy Spirit. It's like a perfect version of Eddie. He's always there. He's always there. And he is the advocate. And so he's not there to condemn you. He's there to pin you. Feels like conviction. Pin you. This is who I've created. I didn't create these. Those arms are too baggy on you. Come on, let's get it to fit. I love you. I care for you. Quit trying to make the world help you get it fit. I'm going to do it for you. Romans chapter 8, verse 33 says this. Who dare accuse us whom God has chosen for his own? For God himself has given us right standing self. I'm going to invite the keyboardist up and we're going to close today. I'd just like to invite you to bow your heads and close your eyes. And what I felt like as we close is that I want to speak to somebody here today that you've been beat up by religion. And that you haven't known what it's like to live with the Spirit of God giving you freedom. Not throwing away the righteous requirements, but understanding where it comes from. With every head bowed and eyes closed, I just want to create a moment for a second. And I want to say to you, welcome home. Welcome home. I want to say to you, I'm sorry for those things that were spoken over you and what was shown to you or demonstrated to you about what the kingdom is like. And I want to say to you, freedom. Freedom to accept the sacrifice of Jesus so that he can clothe you. Freedom to be okay with who you are, knowing that he's not going to leave you that way. So he's calling you, come meet with me. I want to speak to somebody in this room that when I say, come meet with me, you think he's going to tell me all the things I'm doing wrong. He's going to make me feel guilty, and I'll be reminded once again that I'm not worthy. And I want you to know today that the tailor is kind and compassionate and full of unfailing love. And that though he will not leave you the same, he will do so with care and love and compassion. He knows who you are and where you've been, and he accepts you the way you are. He says, my robe of righteousness covers you, so come meet with me every day that I might mold you and fashion you to be like my son. But it's freedom. It's not bondage. It's freedom. Come on, come learn how to be human again. Come learn the way of me. So with everybody's eyes bowed and heads closed, if that's you, I'd just like you to invite you, and I'd just like to invite you right in this moment to just begin to speak to the Lord. Jesus, I accept you. I want to walk with you. I recognize today that my good works are not enough to meet the standard, and so I accept your robe of righteousness to cover me. And from this moment on, I choose to invite the Holy Spirit to shape me and mold me to be like Jesus. And I give you praise for that in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.